we shall see heaven some of these days. That's the principal motivation for us being here on today and every Lord's Day, because we aspire to seeing heaven some of these days. And hopefully all of us who are faithful children of God look forward with anticipatory joy to seeing heaven some of these days. That realization, that aspiration helps strengthen us and helps us to deal effectively with difficult days that we experience here in this life from time to time. But we look forward to seeing heaven some of these days. It is good to see you here on today. God has blessed us with a beautiful Lord's Day. Indeed, the psalmist was right and expressed our sentiments today. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We want to revisit a classic passage of Scripture that has brought comfort and strength and encouragement to countless millions. It has been read and dramatized. It has been memorized and meditated upon. It has been quoted on countless battlefields. It has been recalled in innumerable sick rooms. It has been utilized at the bedsides of countless patients in a myriad hospital settings. Men have quoted it as they were preparing for surgery. This is a most beloved psalm. Some extol Psalm 23 as being one of the favorite passages of Scripture. And we want to focus again on this passage in our lesson today. And what I'd like to talk to you about in our lesson today as we refocus on Psalm 23 is simply making the 23rd Psalm yours. Making the 23rd Psalm yours. This psalm cannot be claimed by everybody. This psalm cannot be usurped and applied inappropriately to people for whom it was never intended. You can't just out of the clear blue, out of an empty vacuum, grab a hold to this psalm and appropriate it for your own personal use if you have no proper claims to it. I trust that all of us in this audience this morning can claim legitimately, appropriately and authentically that this is my psalm. But if you are in the unenviable position of having to disclaim ownership of this particular psalm because you do not sustain a proper relationship to God, our Heavenly Father, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and cannot properly claim this psalm, that before this message is over this morning, that you will take the necessary steps to make this psalm your psalm. And I want to emphasize in our lesson today, among other things, how we can make the 23rd Psalm ours, how you can make it yours. Notice, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This psalm speaks of and epitomizes a special relationship between the psalmist who penned these words and the Lord himself. There are some specific things to which I'd like to call your attention in describing the relationship between the psalmist and the shepherd. And I want to point out that the motif of God as a shepherd to his people is one that we see frequently in sacred scripture. I want you to keep your bookmark at Psalm 23, but then I invite you to a corresponding and corroborating passage in the New Testament, in the book of John. So turn with me also to John chapter 10. And I'd like to look at Jesus, who is spoken of and who himself identifies himself as the good shepherd. John chapter 10 and verse number 11, he affirms, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Keep your hand right there. Jesus is spoken of in this context as the good shepherd. In Hebrews 13:20, he is spoken of as the great shepherd. Now the God of peace, this is Hebrews 13:20, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So not only is Jesus characterized as the good shepherd, but he's also identified as the great shepherd. Additionally, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 4, Jesus is identified by Peter, who was an under-shepherd. He was an elder in the church. But Peter identifies Jesus as the chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The under-shepherds, the elders of the church, they will receive a crown of glory if they are faithful in carrying out their responsibilities as leaders, as shepherds, as bishops, as pastors, as elders in the church of our Lord. They will be the blessed recipients of a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And this crown of glory will be bestowed and rewarded by he who is the chief shepherd. Is the Lord your shepherd? I trust that he is. But if he is not, there are some specific measures that can be taken so that you will be able to claim him as your own. Going back to John chapter 10, starting with verse number 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. This is the first step in making the 23rd Psalm yours. You have to be willing to hear his voice. Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and do them not, this is in Matthew chapter 7, I would liken him unto a foolish man. If you want to claim the 23rd Psalm as yours, you must first of all be willing to hear the voice of the Lord. After Jesus made the promise to build his church in Matthew chapter 16, over in the next chapter, Matthew chapter 17, the Bible says, after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter, James, and John upon a high mountain apart, and was there transfigured before them. And there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him, talking with Jesus. Peter was so thrilled and excited by the presence of the Lord and Moses and Elijah that he was excited, and he spoke very forcefully saying, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us therefore build 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. But while he was still in the process of making his motion, he was divinely overruled. For the Bible says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of that cloud which says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. If you want to be the sheep of the shepherd, if you want to be a part of the flock, if you want to have safety and security in the sheepfold, you must be willing to hear the voice of Jesus, the chief shepherd. The Bible says that these 3 men, Peter, James, and John, a part of the inner circle of Jesus, fell on their faces to the ground because they were so afraid because of this magnificent display of the glory of God. Jesus came and touched them and bid them arise and be not afraid. And the Bible says, when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. That's the one that we must hear, and that's the one that we must heed. You know, men want to listen to everybody but Jesus. But we must hear Jesus, the chief shepherd. If you want to be able to claim the 23rd Psalm as your own, you must be willing to hear Jesus. The Bible says, the sheep in verse 3 of John 10, the sheep, they hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. The Lord knows his sheep. And not only does the Lord know his sheep, but correspondingly, his sheep know him, because they belong to him and they recognize his voice. How many of you know the voice of your mama? How many of you can remember the voice of your mama? How many of you mothers know the individual voices of each of your children? You know, my mama knew all of our voices, and some of us sounded similar to each other. And many of the boys sounded a lot like the old man. The apple doesn't fall very far from the tree, but mama knew our voices because of the relationship that we had with each other. She knew the voice of every last one of us. She knew Benny's voice and Willie's voice and Abraham's voice and Amanzo's voice. She knew the voice of Charlene and Evelyn, of Mary and Douglas, of Loretta, Larry, Linda, Lillian, Charles, Gloria. She knew the voice of all of her children. The Lord knows each of our voices, and we know his voice. Now, you have a questionable relationship with the chief shepherd if you do not respond to his voice, if you do not hear his voice, it is questionable that you have an authentic relationship with him. You just repeatedly, callously ignore the voice of the shepherd, then there's something wrong with you. If you pay no attention to the voice of Jesus, there is a serious problem with your relationship to him. If with callous disregard you ignore and or reject the message of Jesus Christ with reference to any particular subject or any particular command or obligation that he imposes upon you for your own good and safety as the chief shepherd, something is dangerously wrong with your relationship. You have to hear him if you want to claim this 23rd Psalm is yours. Not only that, but you have to allow him to know you and to call you by name. Now, the Lord knows his sheep. We're supposed to know the Lord, and the Lord is supposed to know us. But now, sometimes people make claim to knowing somebody. Sometimes famous persons or celebrities. Somebody will say, I know Denzel Washington. Or, I know Gary Davis. I know Celine Dion. I know Magic Johnson. I know MC Hammer. Now, I know President Obama. The question is, does President Obama know you? Is there a genuine relationship between you and the president? Or between you and Michael Jordan or any other celebrity or major figure? You might know them just by name, but do you know them in having a personal relationship such that they know you? The same thing is true with reference to our relationship to the Lord. Do you say, yeah, I've read about Jesus in the Bible, and I claim allegiance to him, so I know the Lord. But does the Lord know you? Amen. The Lord knows his sheep, and he calls them by name. That has to be the case if you are to successfully claim the 23rd Psalm as your own. I want to revisit a passage with you, and we've revisited it before, but I think it's good for us to look at it again. Matthew 7, 21 through 23, just emphasizing the concept of the Lord knowing his sheep, knowing them by name. Matthew 7, 21 through 23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. A lot of folks are going to be claiming they know the Lord, and the Lord know them, and that they have a good relationship with him, and that they've even done not just a few good works. They will say, in thy name we've done many wonderful works. But Jesus is going to say, I'm sorry, I never knew you. Not only do I not know you now, but I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The Lord knows his sheep, and his sheep hear his voice. When we turn in our Bibles, I believe the book is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, and then we'll move on. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. One of Brother Reese's terms that we are all familiar with, he speaks of us partaking of the Word of God and partaking of a number of good things that are meaningful and enriching for those who are children of God. We cannot partake of or participate in lawless or iniquitous behavior and still claim identification with the Lord as the Good Shepherd and as the Great Shepherd and as the Chief Shepherd. And you can't claim the 23rd Psalm as your own. You just can't do it. You can't just walk in off the street. You can't just find yourself in the middle of trouble, in the middle of storms in life, and just reach unceremoniously into sacred literature and extract the 23rd Psalm and apply it to your particular situation and derive considerable comfort and encouragement and strength from it by simply claiming, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You can say, well, I'll just read that psalm, and I'll just automatically apply it to my situation, and I'll look to the Lord, my shepherd, for rescue. I'll look to him for comfort. I'll look to him for solutions. I'll look to him to provide me assurance. I'll look to him to provide me with strength. I'll look to him to illuminate my path with light. I'll look to him to feed me spiritually. I'll look to him to rescue me from my plight and from my situation in which I find myself currently encapsulated. You can't do that. There must be a prerequisite relationship with the Lord in order to make the 23rd Psalm yours. You don't just decide once you are in trouble that you're going to appropriate this psalm. That'd be like Brother Solomon, and he's too wise for this, by the way. But Brother Solomon, once his house is on fire, calling Allstate or calling Geico or calling State Farm, or calling MetLife and saying, hey, I need to buy some insurance. How much is the policy? I can pay for a whole year. I need to buy some insurance. Well, what kind of house you got, and how much value does it have? Well, it's worth such and such, but it's on fire now. Well, sir, we can't sell you no insurance under these dire situational conditions. You should have bought insurance last year, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago. You have to prerequisitely buy insurance before catastrophe happens. You are on your own. You have to establish a relationship prior to the problem. If you want to claim the benefits that are afforded to those who are in a sheep shepherd relationship with the great God of glory. You want to claim the 23rd Psalm as yours, you must hear his voice, and you must know him, and he must know you, and he must demonstrate the capacity to lead you, and you must evidence a commitment to following him if you want to make the 23rd Psalm yours. Notice verse number 4. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. The sheep follow him. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Are you willing to follow, to hear the voice of Jesus, to heed the voice of Jesus, and to follow the directions that Jesus gives? You know, some of us don't pay a bit more attention to the voice of Jesus as we do a man in the moon. We perennially, monthly and weekly and daily and hourly ignore the voice of the chief shepherd. That preempts our ability to properly and authentically claim the 23rd Psalm as our own. As we think about this psalm, it epitomizes a special relationship that we have with the Lord. And I want to just point out a few things. In the psalm, a personal relationship with the Lord is emphasized. The relationship is personal. How do I know that? I know it because he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Isn't that wonderful? He said, I can claim a relationship with him because the Lord is my shepherd. Now, he might be your shepherd, but I don't know that. But I do know that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Is the Lord your shepherd today? So, it speaks of a personal relationship, but not only does it speak of a personal relationship, but it likewise and commensurately speaks of a peaceful relationship. Notice, he leadeth me. He leads me beside the still waters, speaking of peace and tranquility, no matter what the situation might be. We have the assurance that the Lord provides us with the peace that passes all understanding. Because the Lord is our shepherd. We have this peace again because the psalmist affirms, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord is with you? Isn't it wonderful and reassuring to know that he will never leave us or forsake us? He will be with us, as in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, lo, I am with you. If the Lord is really your shepherd, he's with you. He's never going to leave you, forsake you, abandon you. But you'll have the reassuring sense always of his divine presence, because your relationship is a relationship of peacefulness, and it is a personal relationship. But it is also a providential relationship, because he provides us with whatever we need. Notice, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. This signifies rich provisions that are made for the sheep by the shepherd. Now, when you get to verses 5 and 6, really, the metaphor changes. He moves from the relationship as a relationship between the shepherd and the sheep to a relationship between an affluent host and his guests. Notice, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Signifying the abundant provisions that are made for the guests by the host. I am the guest. The Lord is the host. As I am the sheep. And the Lord is the shepherd. Over in John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus affirmed, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Over in Isaiah 55, the text for our today's lesson in adult Bible class, the wicked are admonished to forsake their way. The unrighteous to forsake their thoughts. Coming unto the Lord, he will have mercy and he will abundantly pardon. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord prepares and provides for us. But not only is the relationship personal, peaceful, and providential, but the relationship is also protective. You know, the Lord is protective of his own. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod and staff, they were vital instruments and tools of the shepherd. They were used to count the sheep. They were used to guide the sheep. They were used to rescue the sheep. They were used to protect the sheep. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Lord protects his own. And then finally, let me just emphasize and suggest the permanence of the relationship. This is not some casual, ephemeral, transitory relationship. This is a permanent, a long-lasting, this is an enduring relationship. I was talking to somebody just recently, and we were talking about people who had the ability to make good friends and to keep friends through the years. I was at the visitation the other night of the father of one of our co-workers, and there was an old lady there, and she pointed out another old lady, and she said, and she had to be in her mid-70s or beyond, she said, we have been friends since we were third grade. About 70 years, almost 70 years. And I admire people who can sustain relationships over a long period of time. I especially admire husbands and wives who can sustain long-term marriages. And I've heard of some folks. I was at a wedding about 2 years ago, and there was a couple there. They had been married to each other for about 75 years. That's a long time. That's what we call a permanent relationship. Yeah, they were there. Here they are at a wedding. Been married all those years. I'm just saying that the relationship we have with the Lord as our shepherd is not just a passing thing, but it is a permanent, long-lasting, enduring relationship. The Lord is there for us through the long haul. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is the Lord your shepherd? Can you claim the 23rd Psalm as yours? I trust you can. The Lord is not only the Christian shepherd, but in our despair, he is our hope. In our darkness, he is our light. In our failure, he is our success. In our sadness, he is our joy. Among our enemies, he is our friend. In our hunger and physical deprivation, He is our food and our sustaining provision. In our confusion, He is our order and clarity. In our thirst, He is our refreshing beverage. In our weakness, the Lord is our strength. In our valleys, He is our mountain. In our turmoil, He is our peace. In our storms, He is our anchor. And He is our safety. Isn't it wonderful to be able to claim the Lord as your shepherd? Isn't it wonderful to be able to claim the 23rd Psalm as your own? If you can't currently claim it, you can in just a few minutes. You see, the Good Shepherd, Jesus affirmed, gives His life for the sheep. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He did that for you, and He did it for me. When He hung on the cruel cross of Calvary, between the twilights of two worlds, experiencing excruciating pain, an agony on the cross. He did all of that for us. When He hung His head and died, and when one of the soldiers came up with a spear and pierced Him in the side, and out of His side flowed forth blood and water. Blood for the cleansing, water for the washing. We can be washed in the waters of baptism, wherein we can contact the blood of Jesus Christ, the preponderance of which was shed in His death. You can reach it, you can claim it, you can identify with it for the cleansing of all of your sins. Without the shedding of blood, Hebrews 9:22, there is no remission of sins. Jesus died. He was buried. But Brother Keeble was fond of saying He died, but He didn't stay dead. Early on Sunday morning, He arose from the grave, conquering King. Did all of that for us. Now my only question is, are you willing to live for Him who died for you? You've heard that good news of the gospel, and really being able to claim the 23rd Psalm as your own is as simple as HBO. Hearing, believing, and obeying. You've heard it. Now you have to believe it. Jesus says, except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. John 8:24. But you need to believe it. And you need to repent of all of your sins. Give up all of the things you know to be wrong. Turn away from them. Give them up. Turn them loose. Let them go. And embrace the new way, the new and living way that is offered by the Lord. Are you willing to repent? Are you willing to confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart? I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That confession which resulted ultimately in death for our Savior will result in life for us when we shall have completed our obedience
in the watery grave of baptism, wherein we identify with the death of Christ and wherein we contact the blood of Christ that was shed in his death, and we are granted new life. The old man is buried. The new man is resurrected from the watery tomb. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Will you be new today? Will you leave here today being able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? As a little four-year-old, the teacher said, who can quote the 23rd Psalm? And the little girl raised her hand. The teacher said, okay, can you quote the 23rd Psalm? She said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, come up here before the class. I want you to quote it for us. And the precious little precocious dear stood before the class, and she said, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. Think little sister girl had a point. When the Lord is your shepherd, he'll provide everything that you need. If you're here and you're already a child of God, but as a sheep you have gone astray and turned to your own way, you can turn back to the shepherd, to the bishop of your souls today through repentance, confession, and prayer. You might be conflicted in your thinking now. There might be some struggling, some wrestling with yourself as to what decision you want to make today, whether or not you want to obey, or whether you want to persist in following your own way. If you stand a guilty distance from the Lord, come to the Lord. Come to the Lord, just as you are. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to try to work out everything yourself. That's like you don't wait till you get well and then go to the hospital. Hospitals designed for sick folk. Come to Jesus, the great physician who never lost a case. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There's a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. If you'll just come, he has the medicine waiting for you. He's given the proper prescription in his word. Will you come as we together stand?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come
just as you are.
I am and waiting.
Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. Don't hesitate. Don't vacillate or equivocate. Why not come right now?
To thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb.
Conflicts,
many a doubt,
fightings,
and fears within, without, O Lamb.
Why not come today,
God,
just as you are?
Come.
Why not come today?
I come
just as I am.
I am. Thou wilt receive.
Wilt welcome. Pardon. Cleanse. Relieve.
Thy pride.